Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You are listening to Talks Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. Talks Machina airs live at twitch.tv/Critical Role on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific, and it's also uploaded to youtube.com/Critical Role on Thursday mornings. If you like our podcast, please rate and review it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Without further ado, here's this week's episode of Talks Machina.
Not bad. Are we on the internet?
Max isn't here. Party!
Oh my God, you guys. Woo! Max isn't here. Finally, the episode we've all wanted for so long.
Everything still runs?
Yeah, we'll find out.
Okay.
Tonight, the Mighty Nein investigate a shipwreck, a spooky tunnel filled with ghosts and sentient seaweed, and a storm-causing sea hag. We'll break it all down tonight with my guests, Liam O'Brien and Taliesin Jaffe. All that and more tonight. Don't move into my frame, man. No, guys. Hit it, Zach. Over the ship. We're back. I thought I told you there wasn't any.
It's up for debate.
It just
depends on where you're sitting. Really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting in the host chair, and the host wants you to know tonight's episode of Talks Machina sponsored. Guys, someone decided to sponsor the show for some reason, and that person is Raven Rook.
Yes.
Yay. Creators, as we know, of handcrafted high-quality disc-bound notebooks specifically designed with tabletop gamers in mind.
Gorgeous books.
Gorgeous books.
Yeah.
I don't have one here because I took it home. Don't tell Rachel. Throughout December, they're actually donating 100% of their profits to schools, teachers, and community centers to help growing gaming clubs and classes through the thing called Adventurers Club Gaming Kits.
No shit.
Yeah, 100% of the proceeds.
That's legit.
The entire month of December, completely legit. And they're sponsoring the show tonight, so it's awesome.
Oh, wow, hats off.
Hats off, Rook and the Raven. Yeah. Every item sold between now and January 20th, actually, will not only add to the number of kits they can send, but also counts towards leveling up the contents of each kit. They got notebooks, source books, adventures, all that stuff. It basically levels it up. You can give now the gift of gaming at therookandtheraven.com/criticalrole. There it is. That's the thing I do now for the slash for you guys haven't been on the show in a few weeks. I will soon.
I encourage it.
Okay.
Don't encourage just behavior.
Keep it up for me.
Yeah, hey. Danny, let Art Dad encourage me however he wants. Either verbally.
His form of expression.
Either verbally, somatically, touchingly. Also, we're so excited, something that was announced earlier today, to invite you to a weekend full of beautiful art and Vox Machina adventures right here in the city that never sleeps. Right here in the...
We have a bedtime,
what do they call this place? The Boulevard of Broken Dreams, Los Angeles, California.
Beautiful downtown Burbank.
Guys, on Friday...
We are the exception that proves the rule.
Yes. Just so you know, on Friday, January 18th, we are hosting our very first art show. This is insane. We've been trying to do this forever. It's a ton of logistics, but we have a great team that was able to help pull it off. Each piece of art was created by the community and curated by us. And mainly by Art Dad himself.
Straight up,
O'Brien.
This has been a conversation for like 2 years, and it almost happened a couple of times over those
Possibly
2 years.
Longer, yeah. It's really
yeah, maybe
a
longer,
big deal.
But didn't. And then it was going to happen. So I got the green light, and I went through every piece of art from the beginning of the show. It took a couple of weeks. Yes, I did. Yes,
wow.
I did. Everything that I have amassed in this gigantic, like a doomsday vault of critter art. And I narrowed it down to 3,000 pieces. Then I narrowed it down to 700 pieces. And then I narrowed it down to somewhere to like 100. And then painfully, like I was just slashing a blade across my gut, I had to take that 100 down to like 45 or 50?
Limited space.
And we were showing the gallery and they're like, there's no.
Too much.
It was so hard. There is so much amazing work from so many people. I think I could safely say thousands of people at this point.
Oh, completely.
To choose, like trying to sort of represent the characters of the show and moments of the show and aspects of the show with 45 to 50 artists was painful, but the stuff that we picked was absolutely gorgeous and just a slice of all the amazing out there. And I really can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait
for
January.
Amazing. All the details are at CurtRoll.com, but I'll give some to you now. Tickets for the opening reception will be available on Monday, December 17th, and are completely fucking free. Can you believe it? Free 99. The exhibit will open through January 20th, so you can stop by over the weekend if you miss the opening reception. It's going to be a blast. We're excited. It's close by. We're not going to be as sort of, maybe we will be as rushed and frantic as we usually are at these live shows, but at least we'll get to go home and, you know, sleep in our own, in each other's beds afterwards like we do. And then on January 19th, Saturday, that is The Search for Grog, a very special live show. One shot, VIP tickets will go on sale Saturday, December 15th, and general admission tickets will go on sale Sunday, December 16th. Now, for those of you who plan on coming and are going, what do the VIP attendees get? Well, let me tell you, VIP attendees will receive a special swag bag, and it's always full of some good, really good shit. It's not like a keychain,
every time,
a sock, and whatever.
There's some gnarly stuff
in there.
No, this
and
time
so,
it's two socks.
This time it's two socks.
Yeah.
Almost two. 98%.
I mean, come on. We work real hard.
Caleb socks. So they have holes in
them. Yeah, that's like 80% of the two socks.
They're in progress.
They have sock holes in them and they hate themselves.
Caleb probably also wears like ankle socks too.
Now I hate
it. Is Caleb an ankle socker? Liam, let's settle this now.
Fuck, I don't know. I have not thought of that part of my backstory.
Oh, boy. Well, you better get
let's
to
get
it.
Let's get back to it at the end, at After Doc.
We'll talk about it.
Start character development is sock length.
That's where you
That's
start.
That's where you start.
Yeah, you started socks.
I'm going all the way to the end. Over the knee.
Questions tonight, guys.
Let's hear what are your socks? Wait, hold up. Everybody stop. What are the Jaffy socks tonight?
Blue spots. And then I don't know if I... Yeah, and then...
Jaffy socks. And then
Jaffy socks.
Liam, I'll show off your shirt there. That's pretty cool.
My shirt? Oh, yeah, well, cool. I am paying tribute to our Lord and Savior Krampus tonight. He is the reason for the season.
And who are the lucky children there that are being attacked?
Oh, that's a representation of my children.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Yeah. That is the professor and Romper Stomper there, just getting wedged.
Talison rocking the old
trash bag.
The old barb, never forget.
Yeah, no, super, yeah. This is my nice, comfortable stamp.
I went on brand tonight with the
big witch energy.
The big witch energy.
I dig it.
It's good.
You know how it goes.
Red singles.
Mm. Yeah, red singles. All right, so they're going to get a swag bag. You're going to get a signed Vox Machina print, a print signed by the cast of Critical Role, as well as a special Q&A before the live show. Hosted none other by me. Don't let that stop you. Get your tickets. You can get all the info for both the art show and keep going, Vinny, the live show at CritRoll.com. Here's the deal, guys.
Oh, no.
For several months, Max is out tonight, and our head of production, Vinny Singh, is running the teleprompter and the various technical. We have been asking Vinny for a new teleprompter since George H.W. Bush was a president. And he has said no for months. Tonight, he has to run the teleprompter. He's like, this thing's a piece of shit! What have we been telling you? All I want for Christmas is a new teleprompter.
You know, on many shows, the crew is appreciated but invisible.
Yes.
But not this show.
No!
No,
no sir!
What,
I demand.
What would be our running gag if we get a nice, if we get a nice teleprompter?
Yeah, well,
then
we compare things we want to.
We'll come up with something else.
It's like undoing Die Hard. Like you need Die Hard.
Like a Google Glass HUD, I guess, would be the next thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can just look Google at the questions Glass. On Google
sure.
Glass, because that's going
to... Yeah, you're skeevy enough to wear one of those, Steele.
I feel like that would work.
I could pull it off. Is that it, Vinny? Everything just kept scrolling. Is that it? Oh, yeah, guys, how about
this is 12 months of pent-up energy.
This is a joke that's been months in the making.
Oh, I'm ready for tomato. I just saw the screen.
Oh, no.
Pull the plug.
Guys, for those who missed it, the screen is telling me we have a rad new intro out.
All right.
Our new animated intro is out now. You can see it at the beginning of Thursday's episode, or it's available at youtube.com/geekandsundry, where it's up and gaining massive, crazy amounts of views because it's amazing. Shout out to everybody who was a part of that. I don't remember all their names because A, some of them are hard to pronounce, and I don't do that, and B, it's not written down on the screen in front of me. Thank you, Vinny. Without further ado, let us discuss episode 44 of Critical Role Campaign 2, The Diver's Grave.
We did it.
Yay.
All right, guys, we have some crit roll stats for episode 44. Now, Vinny, this will be on my iPad here, so you can take a break for a few minutes while my thumb does the work.
It's gonna be sharpening a knife.
We have some crit roll stats, courtesy of our friends at Crit Roll Stats.
Yeah, what do you got?
This episode is tied for second most D20 rolls in an episode of Campaign 2.
Mm-hmm.
Tied with episode 22, which had 166.
Ooh.
Most D20 rolls were in episode 39, 178. Wow. So 39 had 178 in it. That's crazy.
Wow.
Let's see.
I feel like the last episode and the one before were pretty baller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of just lucky shit happened at the table.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Finally, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Long time coming there. Caduceus, played brilliantly by you, Talis and Jaffe, since the other guy died.
Yeah.
Caduceus continues to... Was that a spoiler? Caduceus.
Deal with you.
Wow, it's going to this.
Caduceus continues to have the lowest nat 20 rate of the Mighty Nine, currently at a whopping 2.7%. That's pretty low.
That's pretty low.
That was like my kill to death ratio on the stream I did with Travis
earlier.
That was
pretty spectacular to watch.
That was fun. That'll be on our YouTube pretty soon here, the next day.
Briefly.
36 hours.
Briefly.
36 hours, thank you.
How did you fare?
I did okay. Now, Travis is he's a sneaky giant. He obliterated me more than 15 times. But I held my own a couple of times, mm-hmm. and it made for some great hilarity. I would love to make that a regular thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're definitely stretching the definition of holding your own, but it was a...
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Lowest nat 20 rate of the Mighty Nine. All right. Hey, but you know what? To balance that out, man, you've also got the lowest nat 1 rate, which is 1.08%, which
negligible.
Is currently Liam's blood alcohol content. Based on the damage Ford and Caleb took for Dashila's...
Dashila?
Dashila. Gotta put
and her
it
hungry eye.
Yeah, Dashila's hungry eye. I ate there on the way back from...
Right.
Based on the damage Ford and Caleb took for Dashila's ritual, it can be estimated that it takes about 40 to 50 HP worth of blood to summon a hurricane.
We didn't even...
About one regular dude.
Do you know how many hit points I had after that ritual?
Tell me.
One.
Stop it.
Travis is...
Stop it.
Troublemaking is infectious.
I would have had to, like, cast shit through a tiny hole in the wall, and that would have been weird.
Do you have shit prepared?
I do. I mean, like, the great thing about this type of character is, like, I can keep a lot of bad things from happening pretty easily, and often from a distance.
Yeah.
So.
Man, you're turn to undead in the new...
I love a good turn
to undead. I can't believe we can talk about this now. It still feels weird.
Oh,
it's been in the works
distance.
For a while.
Yeah, your turn to undead's pretty great. Mm-hmm. You.
Voss?
So there was a Reddit thread where someone screen capped the young Caleb part, and they were like, "Who is this? I don't recognize who this was." And all these people were just like, "Young Caleb," and I wrote, "That's Gary." I got a lot of tweets like, "Who the fuck is Gary?"
I'm like, spoilers.
I already gave away
the way it's going
more of Liam's backstory than he wanted me to.
Already ruined it for so many people.
Well, we have questions, and I know it's a bit early to get into them at 7:15, but we should go ahead anyway.
Wait, stop.
Yeah.
Look how cute your dog is.
I know. Big boy.
He's so quiet, and like he's sleepy now. Normally, he's just running all over the studio saying hi to people.
I bring him early in the day, so he runs and gets all his jollies out during the day, and then you guys just get pure cuteness. Uh-huh. You're like in the cute phase. You're not in the tail knocking over everything.
Torpedo tail.
Yeah, torpedo tail. Mm. All right.
Wait, stop.
Yeah. What's up?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that Taliesin and I are together on this show a lot?
Yeah, we are.
I have noticed that.
That has nothing to do with any other cast member scheduling conflicts.
Okay, so we got a text from Sam Riegel that said, like, I'm not coming on till January.
Yeah, also a thing. Also,
why?
Please don't get me wrong. I am very happy to be here with Taliesin, but I feel like either the show or the community or the universe is trying to tell us something, Taliesin.
That might be.
It might be.
I mean, I have a difficult time.
Whatever you guys are thinking about doing, we can't show on Twitch, so we'll have to take it offline.
Really, it's just because you two are my favorites, and I just want to be around you a lot.
Okay. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to.
Okay.
I mean, they're not my favorites. I don't have favorites.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting us in the stew together, man.
She's lying over her laptop, ladies and gentlemen. Itzhoon has a question for both of you, and that's what were your initial thoughts?
Since you're both here,
answer the question, please. What were your initial thoughts and reactions when you watched the new intro? So a lot of people don't know. We kept this a secret from you guys.
Yeah, we got to see it early.
Well, yeah, we did get to see it a little early because they were still tweaking some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long road. Travis and Sam have kind of been lording over this project. We knew they were working on it, but we didn't get to see shit for months. And Travis just kept saying to me, like, when you see, everybody has a moment, when you see your moment, And
he would send, like, I would get, like, texts and, like, very late at night going, like, what would this look like? Or, like, okay, if you were using this power, what would it do? Or how would you, you know, or, like, weird character questions.
How would you visualize that thing?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm like, I had to describe haircuts for my fellow students from back in the day, which I knew very well.
Really?
Yeah.
But you didn't know what socks yet.
I have no idea about the socks, but I've thought about those two students a lot.
Yeah. About the socks by After Dark.
I will. I'll have a bullshit answer.
Cool.
Okay.
But yeah.
You have 12 minutes till After Dark to come up with a bullshit answer.
The animated opening is so fucking
it's
amazing.
It's so good.
We
totally lost it. Yeah.
There's so few things on that short list of things you want to see when something like on the rare occasion that you live through your D&D game becoming a weird thing on the internet.
There's
a short list of things that you hope will happen, and seeing them animated is one of them.
Hope that would happen. You didn't even have an idea that that would happen. For the longest time as an actor, I was like, oh my God, let me be a Transformer with Optimus Prime and be there, and I'll get hired to play that job, and it'll be so cool. And that happened, and it was amazing, but this is fucking character that I pulled out of my butthole.
You guys made up, yeah. 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 And Liam.
Yes. It's a big butthole. There's so many more characters.
There's just so many more to come.
So many more
characters. Your butthole is Mary Poppins' purse.
Squeezes one out every.
I mean, it's at least as wide as what a purple worm can dig.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So many characters in there.
Have you guys ever seen Tremors?
Yeah, right. I love Tremors.
All right, all right. Taliesin, save us from Liam's asshole with an answer to this question from Jordan Hicks.
Can't be done.
Liam's butthole is the bottom of the car in Wrist Cutters.
Fuck. Yes. Wow, way to bring that way back.
Come on, baby. Oh. I got you.
What do you think, powerful. Henry? Henry, did that one land?
Opened his eyes.
That landed in
He opened his eyes.
Man.
He was like, if you throw a stick in there, I'll chase it. Taliesin, Jordan Hicks is here with our 50 or 60th question of the night. We don't tend to hear profanity from Caduceus.
No.
Was you saying fuck off, ghost, in character?
No.
Okay.
I was quoting Thor Ragnarok.
You were quoting it incorrectly.
I was. I was trying to do because I was having a Thor Ragnarok because I hadn't gotten to use Turn Undead yet, and I was so was so happy about it that I just kind of, yeah.
Great moment.
No, that was Taliesin. That was just Taliesin having a moment.
Did you turn undead before?
Not real.
You
not
did to,
just
to,
that one.
Not
there was
to
that one.
A ghost out of a friend.
That's
though.
True.
Yeah,
that
like
was tight.
I used it for comedic result. I was like, I was just having fun with it before.
Yeah,
I never
that's
really.
True. This was a legit turn undead.
Yeah.
Do you know? I also cool. made a real effort to not swear as Caleb for a long time. I was like, that's a character choice, but. Eventually, my own self just kind of steamrolled over
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I mean, like, and Cad can swear. He's very careful about that. And I, and you know, there's manners. It's a lot of manners.
Okay. And maybe he's still new, not loosened up yet to the group enough to where, you know, when I meet someone for the first time, I'm not like.
No, he's homeschooled, man. Though. He's pretty.
Takes
he,
for the
you
second
know.
Meeting for you.
Takes for the second meeting for me to be like.
Yeah. It takes a while for the homeschool kid to like start really picking up the bad habits of once he's out.
How long
out
world. Was Cad alone at that place, roughly?
Not long alone.
Okay.
Just maybe, God, I would say.
Yeah, we talked about it when he first came on, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like it was a couple of years tops. I don't know if he entirely knows how long, but it was definitely.
Forgive me while I make a De Niro face. That's a long time.
That is a long time. But.
Okay, never mind. I have some other questions, but well, let's talk about this episode.
I gotta remember what I said back in the day. Really?
Yes, you do.
I gotta look that up.
Clockwork Jack, Liam, how did Caleb feel in an environment where any fire spells would be at a disadvantage? Perhaps a strange feeling of missing something so reliable or a good change of pace?
Not a good change of pace. He was very conscious of it. Knowing that they were going to go on an undersea dive, he prepared other spells besides that. He had no fire prepared. Ooh. He had acid arrow prepared. He had magic missiles
Milf's
prepared.
Milf's acid arrow?
Yeah, Milf's acid
arrow. Milf's
arrows.
Acid arrow.
Yep.
Straight from the Milf?
That spell
into
is a looker, yeah. So he was very conscious about it. He was very calculated in saying, I'm going into something that is not conducive to my my strengths, my skill set. So it was fine. It was no big deal. You just have to bring the right tools for the job.
What school are you again?
Well, I went to Catholic school for 14 years.
Here we go.
Then I went to the Tisch School of the Arts to be an actor.
I interviewed you for 6.5 hours, feet from here. I know all that. What school did you choose at level?
Transmutation. Ooh, although
that's substitutionary locomotion.
Caleb is homeschooled as well, except he's the teacher and the student. So
yes.
The later years, he's transmutation. In the earlier years, excuse me, he was more pushed towards evocation.
Okay.
Hot.
All right.
And broke away from that.
Danny says hot. We all look surprised.
But it is hot in the studio.
It is hot in here, God damn it, Vinny. Does that iPad turn on the air conditioning, or does it just run this thing all shitty?
The teleprompter runs at 500 degrees.
Oh, the teleprompter is what's omitting the heat. Another reason why we should keep it. Keep ourselves warm. For both of you, from Pathos Vignettes, how spooked were you by Matt's DMing in the tunnels before Deshalia?
Nope.
We'll get there. That was creepy AF.
Yeah, it was a good change of pace.
It was nice. I've been looking forward to this. In the previous campaign I played with him, he got into a little bit of this kind of stuff. And
oh, cool.
I missed this. It's cool. Good.
Although I will say, we know Travis real well, so mostly I was just going...
Staring at Travis because he's...
To see how he reacted to it, yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah, he starts to get the sweats.
He starts to get the meat sweats.
It's so weird. He's so... If you've met him, he's very large.
Yeah.
Like, he's quite strong, right? I wouldn't start a fight with him.
Probably not.
He would beat me into a pulp in less than 8 seconds, I think.
Right.
But he is legitimately scared of many, 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 many things.
He is.
Particularly the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And anything like the ring.
The ring movie.
I just put that right up there into the internet.
Anything too. That Katherine Heigl was in will put him into a state.
Yeah, you definitely do not want to tweet pictures of the scraggly haired woman from the ring
at
Travis.
Do not tweet.
Not cool. Do not
There's
do
a lot of gifts out there that I have seen, guys.
Never come on Twitter again.
There's a lot of gifts that I've seen from the ring on Twitter.
I do.
Be 100. I do not want to get online tonight and see that you have all tweeted at Willing Blam gifts of the ring.
Beg her to do me a favor one of these days.
And
up next,
Travis and Laura have ghost stories in their lives too. I'm not going to elaborate on them, but they are ghosts in their lives.
That's them pranking each other in the middle of the night. They don't do it so much more now that they have a kid. But that's them prank. Trust me, I know.
Maybe it's time.
They are big pranksters. Do you think they'll prank their kid as hard as they've tried to prank us?
I hope their kid starts pranking them.
I hope so, too.
I hope he starts just like Travis lifting him up, we just start shitting all over them.
Real effort into messing with someone in a long time. I feel like I've lost an edge of some kind. Maybe it's time to bring
this back.
Well,
everyone's so litigious these days, too.
Oh, right.
You have to wonder about, yeah. Well, guys, wait, what is this? Okay, this was not on my list last night. This one's from at Voice of O'Brien. Brian, when you stare into the mirror, what stares back? The devastating amount of debt that I owe to 23 different countries. How many countries are there? Are there more than 23, Daniel?
No.
Okay. Debt to all 23 countries.
Best answer.
That was so fast and so sharp, dude.
Oh, I know. It's like we don't even need Max anymore.
Aww. Brian.
Aww.
Did you make these jokes when I was gone that one night about not needing me anymore? You were here. One of
both
you.
Of
wait.
Here.
Both of you were here.
We are. I mean, like. Yeah,
that was like
we
a
are the
ago.
Ghosts of Christmas past and future.
You are.
We live here.
That was a great episode that
it
Danny
was.
Did.
They weren't jokes.
Did you know you can edit the script right on that iPad?
Did you do that while I was walking Henry?
No. Wouldn't he?
Carno Lesbian wants to know. Taliesin. I'm glad my Twitter isn't signed in on here. Taliesin, why is it so important to Caduceus to always make sure he explains the party's presence to the local plant life?
Manners are important. Okay. And I'll actually say that came from a guy I used to know years ago who was a Buddhist monk living in Pasadena, and he was.
Well, there's Mount Baldy.
I don't remember. Like, I was too young to really have a full understanding of exactly what his connection to anything out there was, other than he was the only guy who had an electric car in early 2000. It was a golf cart, but it was. That was pretty cool at the time, and he was a collector of like cool optical things. So, he was like in our group of people, and he had a habit of just kind of graciously asking permission before he ate anything. He was a vegetarian. He would ask permission of his meal, and I remember that sticking with me is kind of interesting. And I
you would
and
bring
I
the meal
it.
To him, and he would ask you if he could eat it.
No, I mean like you would put food in front of him. You would have this quiet moment. I'm like, are you praying? He's like, no, I'm just asking permission. I'm like. Thanking the plants, and I'm asking permission, explaining what I'm gonna do, and you know, just putting
That's
myself
really
into
nice.
This.
Sounds like he was acknowledging their place in the chain.
Yeah, the plant is a living
And I really,
thing.
I dug that. I found it very warm.
It's
I liked
very
it.
Very tender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a nice guy. Nice
I dude. Enjoy that you pluck these little eccentricities out of these amazing people you've known your whole life.
Yeah, I don't know
characters.
If you do this, but like, everything is, it's never like a one-on-one thing, but there's always just a mash of friends of mine who kind of end up in a big, and little bits of me too, but like.
I don't know if that's true for Vax, but it's very true for Caleb. That Caleb
which
is
childhood
made.
Which friend did you burn down, Liam, that inspired
Well, his name was Billy. But I don't know, Vax was started out as very shallow and just sort of filled out over time, but with Caleb, I had a lot of different influences that sort of percolated together. I just didn't know crazy people or magic people like you knew.
Yeah.
Mine were more mundane, like my cat and my tendency for arson.
Right, right, yeah. Danny, no offense taken by you for him saying that Vax started out as shallow? Does that seem like...
No, Vax totally started out as shallow.
I mean, just as a... Not his character, but my understanding of him was I'm a rogue in the home game, and that's
was
being
the
facetious. Yeah, they were big archetypes.
We didn't know how to play the game. You didn't know how the build was happening. Yeah. This was how you start, and like they layer
momentum over time.
Vax started out as only caring about himself and his sister. Yeah. That's kind of shallow.
Reverse that order, and
it's Bolero,
exactly.
Yeah, it's motherfucking Bolero. It's Bolero. It's just you have a theme, and then slowly it gets more and complex. And it's still the same thing. It's
you
just,
have to grow.
That's right.
You hit level 20, and if you're not,
I know what Bolero
grown,
means.
What you do?
I know what Bolero means. Prove to me you do.
The piece of music that is the.
I know.
Yeah.
Guys, we should actually give away
that's
some.
That's like a tie. That's like two strings.
It's the one that's the
two
yeah.
strings that come down from like a medallion.
The Bolero. Yeah.
The Bolerama. Guys, we should give away some free shit real fast. Our first giveaway tonight is honoring your epic gift-making skills. It's time for Gift of the Week.
Gift of the Week!
Gift of the Week!
Yeah, Steve, yeah. Our winner for Campaign 2, Episode 44, here we go, Vinny, was sent in by Jonas...
Go for it.
Tintinsayer.
That's good.
Sure.
Did it good.
Tintin Jonas Zaya. Didn't send in a at Jonas Tintenseher.
You know, that might be German. It might be Tintenseher.
Tintenseher.
Yeah. Yeah, might be.
Could be.
Zaya is sounds very German.
Tintenseher. Let's take a look.
Wow.
This is so good.
So this is a bit of what they call a flashback. That's why it's in black and white. This is not from Thursday's episode. However, as we see, it all ties together.
Oh my God! Oh wow! Is that foreshadowing?
Do you remember that?
Now I do.
Holy. I do.
Bam!
Yes!
Yes!
So good.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's one of the best gifts that the show has ever made.
That's kind of, I agree.
That's really
kind of
spectacular. I agree. Holy shit.
Congrats to you, Jonas. I'm not going to say your last name for your sake.
Tintenseher.
Ghost Puncher.
You have won
Puncher
this.
Ghosts.
Tusk Love.
Oh, Lover
notebook.
Of Tusk.
Lover of Tusk. Available now at shop.critroll.com.
It's so hot right now.
Yeah. Who doesn't want a little bit of Tusk?
Who doesn't want just the tiniest bit of Tusk inside themselves?
Yeah. I just really fast want to point out that if you send Travis creepy gifts and you tag at Tox Machina in them, I also have to look at them. Please stop.
Never stop. Never stop.
Pointing this out. Please stop.
Leave Danny alone. Travis can probably take it. Send them to Travis.
Send your gift rings, the ring gifts, instead of your cock ring.
You can hashtag photographs. Tox Machina. Don't add it.
This is a notebook. This is a campaign journal. This is a diary to a loved one. This is.
It is a vessel for smut.
Life!
It is.
It's a vessel for smut. So put your smut somewhere. Tumblr is dead. You know what isn't? Paper.
Wow.
Remember, you can submit to our weekly contest by emailing your GIF if you don't live in Quebec. Sorry, Quebec.
Oh, man.
To submit.
Toxmachina.com. See if we can collect everything that comes out of Quebec just to see it.
I think Tumblr has a few days left, though, right? Yeah. To put all their smut on?
I think so.
They have until the 17th.
That's, oh man, just aww. Ram it
everything's
in there, guys.
Been getting, ram everything's been getting tagged as explicit.
Scrum of smut. Smut scrum.
It's a real bummer.
Okay.
Liam.
Yes.
Let's raise the mood by answering this question from Jordan Springer.
Fingers crossed.
What made Caleb ultimately decide to give blood with Ford? Did his own natural curiosity take over?
Yeah.
He wanted Ford to owe him one, or was it a combination of both?
This is a multi-layered question and answer.
I want you to remove a layer with each layer you answer.
Right. Right. The first way I have to answer it is not about the characters, but about the players.
Yes.
Travis Willingham is a motherfucking troublemaker.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I looked over and I saw a twinkle in that man's eye that I am familiar with, that he wanted to do some dumb shit. And that is hard to ignore.
No.
So a little switch in the back of my brain went, totally fed into choices. All right, that having been said, I think that Caleb in that moment could see this man that he spent all this time with start to be tempted by power, which was always a thought that Caleb had, but he saw Ford not just trying to figure out his father figure or his past or what the situation is, but he saw this guy who has seemed like, you know, like Liam talks about how Ford is, he could be evil, but Caleb doesn't think that. Caleb has always seen Ford as like an upright guy. And in that moment, married with Travis wanting to fuck shit up, saw Ford be tempted by power.
Mm.
And in that moment, he's very much like Trent, the man who molded him, saw a split second in time where he saw hunger in this guy's eyes and thought that it could be molded or bent for Caleb's use.
Mm.
And thought, I could take a risk here. There's a follow-up answer to this as well, or a follow-up thought. I could take a risk here that will probably be okay. God, we were misguided. Mm-hmm. We were misguided. But I could probably do this and not end the world or anything, and we could pull short of whatever this is gonna be, and I could have Ford, I could have a new understanding with Ford and probably pull a favor out of this. I thought that in advance, like, whatever this, he wants to do something here, and I'm gonna facilitate it and have him be beholden to me for it. Those are Caleb's thoughts, not Liam's.
Not wrong.
He's not wrong so far.
Somewhere in the back of my head, Percy's going, well done.
Yeah, exactly.
Percy's like, Percy's giving a little slow clap right there. Mm.
And it played to his advantage. And I mean, you know, Ford could murder Caleb later, but in this moment it was like I weighed some things and I risked something, and I probably got gains from that. And I'll follow up with the idea that Caleb, early in this campaign, it was very scaredy cat, very like stay back, because he was just putting his toes out, but it was always stay back. But ultimately he knew he'd get to a point where the things that he wants to do, and there's multiple things that he might do, he's not sure what he wants to do, but he has a couple of branches of things he could do. None of those are going to happen unless he takes risks and earns big. Mm. So there's no reason to play it safe after a certain point. Calculated risks, something that Caleb and Ford have talked about for a long time.
Right, yeah.
Calculated risks. And if he dies trying to do the things he's attempting here, that's okay with him.
Okay. Yeah.
He is trying to undo something disgusting and terrible, and he's willing to put his life on the line to make it happen. So he doesn't do anything willy-nilly. He thinks, well, this could be the end of you, but it could get you that much closer. And that was one of those moments where I thought, first I thought, oh, Travis is on a fucking tear right now, but in character was like, this could pull you closer to the thing you want.
Wow. Danny, I fucking told you I wouldn't answer that one.
Yeah, I know. You were definitely really
told you we were
going to
get shit out of him. Mm. Let me ask you this, Taliesin. Does Taliesin also share the same suspicion that Liam does about Ford being potentially evil? Not Caduceus, but Taliesin.
No.
Okay.
I don't think
Ford. Because I'm kind of starting to lean a little bit in your direction,
Liam. I will say that I think Caduceus and Taliesin have the same feeling on Ford, which is that he's a moral person, but not a good person, if that makes sense.
He's not perfect.
No, right. and he could go bad real easy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy who could go wrong really. He's one bad day away from everything.
He's
going
the wrong person pissing in his ear to get him to turn directions, right? Like he could if someone see he's wooable. I feel like
he's wooable
after Avantika. I'm like. He
makes bad choices.
He makes bad choices.
And I also think that Travis is, we all know Travis is Slytherin, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that he likes, we're all trying to game each other a little bit, and I think Travis likes the idea of corruption. Mm-hmm. And the idea of a good man, I mean, either way, it's interesting, but a good man falling is something fun to play with.
Or that man who thinks he can walk that line.
Yeah.
That's really always going to be a question of like I've got this, I've got a handle on it. And I'm like, do you?
I'll throw another thing in here that I'm going to assume nobody's asked about. I could be wrong, but after that moment, like at the table, I looked pleased as punch. I was like, oh boy, I got a favor out of that. But Caleb was disgusted with himself at that moment.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me more about what was going on in your mind then.
Well, I think that he was a product of his schooling in that moment. Ooh. And part of him was like, yes.
Ooh.
But most of him went, you fucking piece of filth.
Wow.
Yeah,
look at you.
Move.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Hmm. Yeah, as soon as, like if this is the story, if it's the film, as soon as they're walking out of there, he's instantly going, why?
Wow.
Still got that favor, though.
That's good. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. That's going to be interesting to see play out.
God damn it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. Well, Taliesin, Tribert wants to know, how did Caduceus feel about suddenly realizing the seaweed in the cave was carnivorous? Did he just think of it as a cycle of life, or was he alarmed by the very unchill plant life?
Everything eats, man.
It's trying to figure out. I love the notion of this violent hippie. He's very comfortable with the notion of violence, and especially natural violence. There's no more appropriate way to die than to be eaten by. I mean, it's eaten by a thing that it's not doing anything other than sustaining itself. This is not some. There's no weird political, ideological issue here. This is not something invented by the consciousness of man. This is just a hungry thing that will in turn be eaten by something else at some point.
Right.
Yeah, no, there's no problem at all. He's aware of carnivorous plants.
It's part of the cycle of life.
It's unbelievably healthy by his line of thinking.
I think so far that's my favorite part about Caduceus is that everybody else in the group is like the traditional Western European concept of life and death and morals. And this is something that's
I tried to veer him away off that path and to the best of my ability, and build something that it's a little odd in this setting, but I think it's working well for this kind of character. I don't think I could have played this nice and moral of a character in this group of people without an enormous amount of dissonance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been a lot to just pretend that he was fine with everything
it's
otherwise.
It's interesting. It feels like an entirely different culture than all the rest of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
By design.
I think you're playing it quite well, sir.
Oh, thank you. I'm enjoying him.
What do you think, Henry?
What do you think, big boys?
Henry misses Molly.
He's so sleepy. Mm. He does miss
he's
Molly.
He's dreaming of Molly.
We should get Henry a Molly
fabulous,
cup.
Fabulous,
do you believe?
Okay.
Oh, boy. Oh,
Liam.
Yes.
Rescue us from the lawsuit from that song coming up. Expired Sunshine. Travis and Ford seem to have put a large amount of meaning on the joining of cut hands.
Yeah.
Did Caleb Liam also put the same kind of significance on that act, and why not?
Liam is irrelevant. Caleb
never.
In this moment, it is Caleb saw no significance to blood cut palms touching, other than the fact that it was obvious that Ford did.
Yeah. Okay, so that was okay.
I'm
so that's
so an, proud.
Another piece of that.
So
yeah, you manipulative
right
motherfucker.
Oh, I miss this. I miss this so much.
Caleb likes Ford a lot.
Yeah,
but still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, what if it was the touching of flames? Would he have been more? All right, let's see. Which one of these do I want to ask you, Taliesin? What do you think, Danny? 10 or 12?
Wow,
let's see.
Deep, huh?
Oh, I like
I think
this.
10.
Let's do 10.
Yeah.
Jumanji, Costco, of course.
Oh yeah.
Of course. Taliesin, we got to see Caleb and Ford make some interesting choices this week in terms of how far they're willing to push the boundaries of curiosity. How would Caduceus feel knowing that they participated in blood sacrifice and the blood pact?
The blood sacrifice itself.
Are you familiar with this shit?
What the blood sacrifice and the blood pact?
Yeah.
That whole thing. I'm still waiting. I'm not waiting. I'm finishing giving Matt all of the notes on the weird religion I built for this character so that he can approve it before I can really comment on his feelings all the way across the board on this. But it's good I didn't see this. This would have not sit. I mean, more than anything, Caduceus would have been really. It's not the blood that would have bothered him, but that he felt that it was obvious that this thing should not be meddled with, and that this thing was. Attracting some very negative energy that was not appropriate. The one thing that people who worship the Wild Mother and have a big deal with is that there is a cycle of life and death, and you kind of have to abide by it. And this thing is obviously perverting that. There's fucking ghosts everywhere. And like this thing is the most obvious culprit for. Causing this real negative impact on the balance of nature, and the idea of just trying to activate this thing that is literally haunted by dead people who are trying to eat you is dangerous, offensive. Yeah, it would not have gone over well.
Yeah,
Wow. I'm really glad he didn't see it. It would have.
This campaign is so gloriously messy.
Yeah.
Like last campaign, there were definitely disagreements and disputes among the members of the group, but there weren't really many secrets. There were some, but not many.
No.
Percy did in the beginning. That's really the biggest instance I can think of. But this group, all of them.
The Frog and Percy fight was a pretty big one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, yeah.
But this is this
inter-party
is non-stop.
Conflict, for sure. But there are secrets and duplicity while they all enjoy each other's company. It's interesting, and it can only play out messily. It's not necessarily going to be terrible for the group. I think
no,
that
it's going to be.
It'll be messy, which you know is just like.
And the minute that Clay has things that the minute that we come across the things Clay wants and that he actually has his needs come into the forefront, that's going to be interesting to see how people deal with that.
Mm. What are his needs?
I think the nine is all like, why is this dude? We are terrible people. Why is this sweetheart with us?
Mm-hmm.
And I assume Liam assumes there's a reason.
There is a reason. Mm.
Right, but everyone, but the group is like,
no.
Sure, please stay. You're so helpful and nice.
But he's also doing some of the stuff that you're doing, which he is making, and it's not quite as calculated, but he is definitely doing the, I'm investing in these people with the hope that I'm in turn going to be invested in. I'm helping with these things. I'm trying to give some spiritual guidance in these things and giving some physical assistance in these things, but at some point there is an ask. And there was, at the very beginning, there was a conversation I'm going to need something from you guys.
You don't have to tell me specifically who, but is there a person that Caduceus believes over the others could help him more?
He doesn't
know. Or is it more of just the group as a whole?
He's a creature of faith. I'm getting used to that in my head.
Mm.
And is on a divinely inspired mission at the will of all that he worships. So he is trying his best to just read the signs and do what the universe is telling him to do, and the universe is telling him that these are the people he needs.
Okay.
It's like a priest or a pastor moving to a totally new city in a new state and saying, all right, I'm going to be the person who guides this flock in this church, and everybody's got their own fucked up needs
welcome
and desires.
Welcome to fucking Deadwood.
No,
can be combative.
It's my faith to help whatever group I land with, and holy shit, look like what I landed with.
I love the minister in Deadwood.
You know that's
definitely
who Henry's named after.
Oh, no kidding.
The minister in Deadwood was a real guy named Henry Weston Smith.
Oh.
And when we got Henry, the day I met him, I was like, he has the same personality as the reverend from Deadwood, so we named him after him.
Yeah, he just shouldn't be there. I love him in that show, but he shouldn't be there.
I know.
I feel bad.
But
Henry.
That's not a place for.
No.
That's a good
Did you get a treat?
He got a treat.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, let's give away some more free shit really fast before we get to the last round of questions.
On
up
top
next.
Of the treat?
On top of the treat.
Okay.
That was actually, that was a.
It's fan art of the week.
Fnurt.
Woo! Fan art!
Fnurt.
Art Dad!
Hey, there's my sweater.
Don't lose your voice, Danny.
Sorry.
It's okay, just take care of it. This week's fan art winner for Campaign 2, Episode 44, was sent in by Don Carlos at Don Dun Dun Dun. Let's take a look.
Whoa!
This was posted today or yesterday.
Oh, my fantastic. God. You know, somewhere in the world, someone's knitting that right now.
Oh, I hope
so. Happy.
I hope they are, and I hope they send it to me to wear on my body.
I think in my imagination, I was imagining something more like svelte, like a night vision goggles,
that's
like Frumpkin was shrunken around my head, but that is so much more fabulous.
do you remember the retweet you got from who was it?
It was a marine or a
organization.
A sea life organization. There's a critter working there. I'm gonna, after the show, because I feel like a putz, because I can't think of it, but there is a critter at a marine biology organization who like has dipped their toes into our conversations about underwater DNA.
Oh, really?
And they had a fascinating feeling on whether that this would have worked very well.
Yes.
In fact,
I'll find it after the show and post it.
That. Well, that's awesome. Thanks everyone who submitted. Congrats to you, Don. You have won this Wenge Dice Fall with Tiger Maple Inlay. Now, Daniel, I'm holding up the winning item now.
Yeah,
for,
I got it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you're on my hands. Now, this, guys, it looks like two wormwoods in one, but I guarantee you...
It's filled with dog treats.
It's filled... Oh, wait. Hold on. Hold on.
When gay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
Dog.
That's that dog just woke up.
Henry. Here, let me just put one in there.
Oh, look at his tongue.
Do you want a treat?
Lapping.
Okay, I'm going to drop it in from the wormwood. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Boop. Oh, there you go. Yeah. You got it. You got it. That's a good boy.
Yeah.
Okay, Don, congratulations. Remember, you can submit by sending your gift or fan art to submit at talksmachina.com. Rules for our contest are available at critroll.com.
Submit.
We've got time for a few more. Liam?
Yes. Mm.
Danny Spud 2. Caleb mentioned he had an idea of what the table did. Did he correctly guess that it would summon the storm? If so, was he intentionally risking the Squall Eater just to gain a favor from Ford?
You didn't know a damn thing.
No, I mean, I didn't think that it was like a red nuclear missile button. I thought that there would be more build up and steps to it. I didn't think it was just boom, your ship is sunk. Yeah. But no, I was just. Liam was just feeling egged on and could see that Travis wanted a tango.
Mm.
But I didn't think it was going into it, and I realize I'm a fool. I know I'm a fool. I'm a fool.
No, I'm glad you did it. I mean, I can tell you.
Me too.
That's but Dungeons and Dragons.
I figured there would be more buildup or steps as things happened. I knew that it was connected to the weather and the sea. I just didn't think it would like just cause the toilet to flush.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah,
and Ford has been on this kick about he has been envious or admiring of Ivantika and her ability to control water, and he likes. I can see this. Caleb can see this desire to be even more in connection with the sea than he already is as a sailor. So I thought, well, shit, this is connected to the ocean around us somehow. We will learn a series of steps, or an ability will be allowed, or we will get to a new precipice after we press this. I didn't realize that just doing it was the motherfucking precipice.
We would
precipice.
Have had to walk to the nearest
swim
gas station.
Swim home. Yeah.
I had enough water water spills. I had some interesting water spills just in case, and one of them was we walk forever. So.
Man, where's that Keyleth wind walk now?
Oh man, I missed that.
But I don't regret it. I don't regret any dumb choice I've ever made on this show because
You shouldn't.
Because it's a game.
Yeah, it's a game and it's fun as fuck.
Yep.
And it always resolves itself
best
somehow.
When everything is going horribly wrong.
Yeah. Speaking of undead earlier, Talison, Seagull Arthur asks, Caduceus Fears hates the undead. Has he had any past experiences with undead that have led to such powerful fear? Okay.
I mean, he doesn't fear the undead.
But a reason to hate them.
Yeah, no, they're an abomination, and they are a perversion of nature, and they are a sign of everything going horribly wrong with the world, and he by his very existence, is supposed to be smiting them out at every notice. Dead is dead. You're either alive or dead. You can be dead and come back to life, or you can be alive and you can die, but, like, there's not any middle ground there. Anything in the middle is not okay.
He's not against resurrection.
No, that's just more life. It's dead. Mm. Yeah, it's that weird middle ground where everything falls apart.
Like shorts.
Like shorts.
Caduceus is anti-shorts. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Who isn't, to be fair?
Anti-shorts.
Especially with socks and sandals.
Oh.
But abomination.
Tell Vinny that.
Say true things about Vinny. Come on, you won't get us a prompter.
I don't know any true things about Vinny.
He grew up in a graveyard, of course.
Vinny grew up in a graveyard.
He did, but no.
Oh, we're back.
Yeah,
to
no, it's like talk about Vinny. He. There's plenty of ghosts, and his family had been fighting weird undead and issues, and that. Yeah, he was sitting in a haunted forest for his whole life. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Tons of bad shit.
Liam.
Yeah.
MJ wants to know, after the blood ritual, Caleb looked back to Jester and seemed to be gauging her reaction. Yeah. Was he concerned that she'd bring it up with the others, that this might change her opinion of him or something else?
Definitely concerned about her opinion, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Definitely concerned about it.
She was going,
definitely.
Like, this
definitely.
Is the best trip to sleep no more ever.
Yep. Fish sticks are on Tuesday. Definitely not friends with Jester anymore. He that was not good for him. That was not happy for him. So many things going on in that one moment. He felt like he had a good, strong tool in his toolbox for the future, but one of the nicer things in his life was definitely tarnished, yeah.
Mm. Uh-huh. Do you know what isn't tarnished? The beautiful picture of Liam, single camera with the wonderful Christmas tree behind him. Zach, let's go back to that again. What's more wholesome than this?
What a guy.
Why are Taliesin and I red as cherry tomatoes
tonight? It's that television. Don't look over there. It's not, that's not.
You.
Zach, is that what we really look like?
Oh, God.
He says no.
All right.
But I also heard someone ask him at the same time if he wanted another milkshake, so we don't know which one he is. Taliesin, the writing druid wants to know, what does Clay think of letting Dashila live?
He's a little upset about that. Yeah.
Stop showing me. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he was a little upset that everyone was like, are we just dropping this? This is a problem.
No, go.
No, I mean, like, that
oh,
was
yeah,
his.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not yelling at you yet.
I thought you were yelling at me because I kept mispronouncing Dashila.
God. No, it's. Yeah, I was a little. I could tell this was the source of a lot of problems here, and it was. We're just going to leave this thing with this altar and this whole room, and where everyone's fine with that. Like,
I mean, that we're agreed on. I don't think Caleb wanted to leave her.
We're like,
he had one hit
just,
point.
Yeah.
But how like, comfortable is Caduceus speaking up, though? How
He's
comfortable
not.
Is he speaking up at this? Still, this new to the party, though, because I would imagine.
It's
he's not
even
new anymore.
It's not even new
I
to the.
Feel like
I mean, he's been around for a while, but he's. It's not even that he's. It's not that he's new. It's just that it seems rude to make a fuss.
Hmm. So it's the manners again.
And yeah. It's well. He's also. I mean, he's from a. Yeah. But at the same time, he was also the kid. He has a lot of brothers and sisters, and he definitely was the kid who probably got less because he was not making as much noise about the things he wanted, and is still doing the. But you all know that we need. Why am I arguing?
Also, potentially, we're good guys here because this thing at the bottom of the ocean was just sinking ship after ship after ship. And we were stopping that, and we're like, all right, let's fight. She ran. All right, let's just get out of here.
5 hit points left. Just gonna find a health potion.
Mm-hmm.
And then two of our, two
just
people.
Just find a health potion.
And then
just
like,
find
and then
one.
Just and not,
go
and both run off.
Tree.
And I'm like, what
this
the?
Is this fucking thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, he was having a bit of a panic attack. He was like, is no one gonna make sure that they're not,
sorry,
what is wrong with.
Too busy being selfish.
Yeah, no,
here.
Like, he could not figure out what the fuck was happening at that point. It was, he like, everyone started acting like a crazy person to him.
Yeah.
Man, I love Caduceus.
That's why I also had that instant up spell. I was really excited and looking forward to doing the elevator to the surface.
A little bit of punishment to everybody.
Just like, okay, we're done.
A little passive aggressive.
You have your seatbelt on.
Prepare to revisit your lunch.
Turn this spell around.
Turn this around.
Turn the spell around.
Don't sue us.
All legal.
Okay, our final question of the night comes from
parody
law. Yeah, yeah. Everything on the show is a parody of Critical Role. This question comes from Malene Lund Stauregard, which is definitely a fake name to hide someone's secrets. Liam and Taliesin. Now, this is. Don't look at the screen if you haven't finished campaign one.
Stauregard.
This is spoilers. Major spoiler alert for campaign one plot point. Described in the question below. On a scale from 1 to Scanlan's drug habit, how afraid are you that Ford is lying about wanting to open the gates for Uketoa?
Uketoa.
I don't think he's lying. I think he doesn't know what he wants.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And I'm not even necessarily sure I'm against it.
It's what it's what Caleb saw in that moment, which is Ford. There's what Ford tells himself is the deal.
And then there's
and
the
what's
deal.
Really the deal. And then Caleb saw, he thinks, in that moment, what's really the deal, which is this guy likes the taste of the power, even if he's not admitting it to himself yet.
Likes the taste of the
agree.
Sword, too.
Yeah, clearly.
Who was the most power-hungry character in Vox Machina?
Percy.
Yeah.
Percy. Okay.
By far.
I would agree. And then do you think Ford is out of this campaign, or do you think it's Caleb? Because I might think it's Caleb. I think it's also
neck and neck.
I'll say it's not wanting Caleb to be the most powerful.
Only because Ford. Well, I mean, like it's tough.
Caleb is conscious of.
Caleb knows himself.
Ford is lying to himself.
Yeah.
More.
Interesting.
And I think Ford will hesitate because he has illusions, or not even necessarily illusions. He doesn't have a permanent. He doesn't have the strongest sense of self.
Yeah.
I think you have. It's nice having a goal. You work towards it.
It's nice. Yeah.
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 Well,
everything falls into place.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all the time we have for questions. However, during the month of December, we are spotlighting some of the few amazing Christmas presents that critters have sent us. Up first, we have something from Lauren Tuggle at Deja's Quiet Place. Now, this last week, we showed off a really excellent sword that someone had sent in for Travis. This, my friends.
Oh my God, I remember this. I love this thing so much. Oh,
it's pretty fucking cool.
Oh man.
Daniel, I'm now holding up a different object.
Got a close up on that.
Look at this. Oh. It is just the most.
Look at all the
freckles are really like.
And all the stuff.
I want one.
This is from Lauren Tuggle, and it is amazing. We're going to give this to Laura, but as usual, I'm going to try to force her to let me keep it on the talk set because I love it so much.
You better want
to
talk set.
It's Laura. So awesome.
Maybe we can lean it up against the fire pole, the fireplace pole now.
Is it hot up there?
No, I don't
it's think. It's not a real fire.
Well, I think it's literally a
the
fake
rule
fireplace.
Is if we put it there and we get a close up of it on talks that it has to stay there for good. So
I think we'll eventually take it out of the box maybe.
No, the box.
No, we will in
it.
A second. Okay. The box will burn away once it gets hot enough on the top of the stove. Vinny was sick the day he ordered it. He actually ordered us a real stove, which I told him is probably against some of the... That's all the time we have for tonight, folks. Stick around for Talks Machina After Dog on ProjectAlpha.com.
Okay.
I would like to thank both guests, Taliesin and Liam, for joining us.
That's awesome. Shit.
It's rare you guys are able to make it for a Talks episode, and we just want to say that we're appreciative. Danny?
Never again.
I really appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it more that you guys were here when it was me hosting, because that really, really helped.
That was, I mean, what better port in the storm than in between these two gentlemen?
We're easy.
We should drink port next
time. My favorite boys to be between.
Danny.
Oh.
What?
I need to teach you the meaning of subtlety, something I have mastered.
Something you have mastered.
Be more subtle, like us.
I just want to fill up the battery graphic on your Danny Cam graphic.
Say that a lot.
I know it's fake, but it's still giving me anxiety.
Yeah. I want to see the charging logo next to it.
Put a lightning bolt.
At least put the lightning bolt next to it.
88% battery, you savage.
How do you live? Episode 45.
Wow.
Of Critical Role Camp at 2 hours this Thursday. Until then, don't forget to love each other, as always, and don't worry, it's almost Thursday.
Yes.
Stay turnt, my friends. Do it. We're back.
So much happened.
So much happened, you guys. I wish we had time to fill you in on all of it, but instead, it's Talks Machina After Dog, starring Liam Taliesin and the goodest boy ever.
The goodest boy.
Henry. I guess I'll pay attention to you guys, but look at
don't his
this.
Ears feel like velvet?
They're the softest.
They're like the softest velvety ears in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
Oh, big boys.
Welcome to 10 minutes of Taliesin and Liam just petting a dog.
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. I'm
Welcome
really jealous.
To dog petting.
I want to pet that there dog.
We just soon want to be an entire channel on Twitch.
Uninterrupted.
All I want is to not play in D&D, but just to have someone give me a head massage like this all day.
Why didn't I should get a dog?
Okay, let's power through these. You guys should get a dog, but I'm afraid of what you do with it, considering the rest of the animals. How the animals
share. There's too many important bones in y'all's house for that dog to not be able to chew on.
That's true.
Your house is like a dog's like hell. Like it's all these bones, and I can't have any of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh yeah, no. Things on high shelves.
Oh.
Yeah. Liam, this question will surely tickle you. The username is Tickle Me Frodo.
Yes. Yes, Frodo.
Taliesin, Liam, and Danny Carr, we all know Brian smells like cabbage, a joke Sam Riegel made one time.
Only when you scratch him.
That has lasted. What fruit or vegetable do you smell like? Let's start with you, Danny.
God damn, I hate when you fucking do that. I smell like cookies. because
you kind of smell like cookies.
I smell like vanilla because that's my like perfume that I use every once in a while. Mm. Is like the like warm
vanilla
cookie
extract?
Vanilla perfume.
You just rub a little vanilla extract on
put
your
vanilla
wrist.
Vanilla extract on my neck, just for you, Brian.
Okay, yeah, she knows I'm allergic.
She was hoping.
Maybe I smell like my favorite snack, which is apple slices and peanut butter.
Oh, what a healthy snack.
Yeah, but it's so good.
It is so good. Do you know what I like to do?
What?
At late at night, if I get really hungry.
Yep.
Sometimes.
That happens regardless. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, sorry, my fault.
I'll do. No, I love it. Apples, peanut butter, a little bit of honey,
ooh.
Walnuts.
Ooh, nuts and nuts.
Dude.
That's crazy.
Because, like, it's so good.
So much.
What do you smell like?
I change up what I like wearing interesting cologne. Right now I found one that smells like burning and I've been really enjoying it. It smells I've been smelling like a good campfire for a while.
Yeah, you've just been going to bonfires.
Like burning.
No, I have it comes in a bottle. I love it.
Comes in a bottle.
Smells like ancient Babylon.
That also is true. Which also burnt. Yeah.
Oh boy.
trying to
We should have put it in a museum, Dad. Alexandretta.
We should do that all night. Yes. D.D. Dragoni wants to know, Liam, any hints you're willing to give us about the new character you'll be playing at the live show? This will go well.
A ton of people tweeted at me.
This will go well.
Saying, I bet he's going to do that monk from the Ashari that he talked about that served Keyleth. And no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else.
Oh, that's something else.
You haven't really figured it out yet, have you?
No. I've been trying to wake up Travis and Matt into that discussion, but there's so many things going on here right now.
Over
so
the break.
We'll figure it out in the new year.
I love how Henry crosses.
That'll be a good break of conversation.
Woody.
He crosses his legs like a gentleman.
He's a
gentleman.
So he's a Frickwit. Guys, Die Hard, a Christmas movie. True or false?
True.
True.
Vinny?
It's Christmas in the fucking movie.
True.
Steve?
Wow.
True. No.
Dan, are you fucking kidding me?
Daniel. Christmas?
All right,
it's
Daniel.
A Wonderful Life. Is it a Christmas movie?
And,
yes.
All right.
Oh, it's terrible for the kids.
Clearly, Daniel's a Scientologist.
This is a scientific question. If It's a Wonderful Life is a Christmas movie mm-hmm. because it takes place at Christmas, the events of Christmas, why the fuck isn't Die Hard a Christmas movie?
It is. Yep. It is. Follow up to that one. Batman Returns is a Christmas movie, true or false?
Ask Wilfred O.
That's fair. That's fair.
Why ask Wilfred O?
I don't know because I saw it one time and I tried to black it out.
I haven't seen it in long. Yeah, I feel like I'm not educated enough to make that estimation.
Yeah, me neither. Haven't seen it in forever.
Mm. Saw it one time. Don't care.
Okay.
Is Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween or a Christmas movie?
It's a both movie.
It's
you can
both
watch
movie.
It at both.
You
holidays.
Can watch it at either time and be okay.
Yep.
That's how I feel.
It does have the Easter Bunny in it.
It does have the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, Steve.
Thank you for
the
that.
Easter Bunny does show up.
Where's Steve Cam when we need it, guys?
Right? Come here, Steve.
Taliesin and Liam, one of my favorite screen names, Ario Teabaggin'.
That's pretty good.
All the time.
What's your favorite thing about Brian W. Foster? This will be short.
I mean... God, do I want? You can't ask that because then immediately I want to be sincere and I don't know how to fight that.
I like the vaudeville showman who is tap dancing on top of the very, very, very deep well that is you.
Oh,
that's going to be way better than mine.
Emotional. if I wasn't on so many beta blockers.
Just keep tap dancing, Brian.
Tap
just keep
away.
Tap dancing.
Yeah. I love you. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
love
no, I mean like yeah, it's like having the best drinking friend around, except I don't have to feel like shit in the morning because I hurt myself because I had to keep up.
Yeah.
I don't have to because you don't do that. And it's so it's the same pleasure and it's lovely and I love it. Oh, yeah. I love having you in our lives. It's great.
Thank you guys. That means a lot. I think we have time to get to Daniel. You can go, and then Vinny, and then we'll go to Steve, and then Danny, and then Zach.
This wasn't actually a question. You literally just put it on the
fucking
card. Well,
they did just say it to Talis and Liam, but I'm feeling so good now. I feel like we should go around the entire...
Question from @VoiceOfO'Brien.
There is a spike of bone in your dog's head. Is Henry secretly a unicorn?
I think it.
What did you
he's
find?
Going to transition. He's going to transition late in life into a unicorn.
Don't you turn this dog into an octopus. You get that octopus off of
here.
That's hilarious.
Put it on my head. Take it from Henry.
Oh, there it goes. There it goes. Wait, look forward. Look forward. Yes. Look straight ahead. Look straight ahead.
Yeah,
there you go. Now, there we go. Oh, right there. Oh,
you leave
right
this good boy alone.
Looks like he's going to eat him.
Snuggling with his Uncle Liam.
Buddy boy.
You love your sad boys, don't you, Henry?
Unicorn dog.
Hey, everyone.
Yes?
What's your, Quinn1698, what's your favorite Easter egg in the new intro? Mine is the guest stars in the book that Matt is holding up. I don't know if that's an Easter egg
or not. I like Jester's bedroom is just made of weird, like her sheets are
I like
amazing.
The paintings on the wall in Jester's bedroom.
The little unicorn sheets, I love it.
Bo's missile snaring when she catches the hat a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That's her feat. She's able to catch a hat in a split second because of that feat.
The animators asked me for some design information, and so it's actually the only place where you can see what, and rendered appropriately, what Caduceus' shirt looks like without his armor.
Ooh.
So it actually...
Is the graveyard accurate? Did they ask you about the graveyard?
Oh, it's pretty close. It's definitely from certain vantages would like there's some
where are you going?
We'll say landmarks missing, but the vibe is appropriate.
Tight.
I like the slow,
very 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 solid
slow growth of cauliflower like fungi.
That's exactly what I wanted.
The dead. That is so amazing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was hoping for.
And I want a print of both of those shots, the before and the after, to put side by side. Please.
What's just a lenticular?
I'm telling you, I want it if you could order that for me. I prefer like a 24 by 24.
I was going to get you a fruit
cake, like frames
but whatever,
that are no less than 200 years old made of reclaimed wood. I want a velvet background
made from the
inside of the coat of one of the previous popes. This is just how I like
the Pope. I also love the crippling
Hieronymus for that.
The crippling grief of Caleb's house burning down.
Yeah.
That was a fun little.
That was really
part,
solid.
That part made me chuckle.
Yeah, yeah.
That part gave me a good belly laugh.
But you got to put in punchlines.
Yeah, there's weird hidden stuff in there too, like very hidden.
I really like every frame of Yasha's.
Yeah.
Storm. Oh, I have so many questions about
it. I have so many questions about
it. Yeah, yeah. We got to get her here. I also like Nott with her giant flask doing the Sam Riegel.
Yes, yes, the swish. Yep.
On the cart.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Woof.
Okay.
Wow, you're really.
Whoa, somebody said, can one of you sit up Kiri? She looks uncomfortable. Well, it's okay. Kiri is now face down on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Gilmore.
She'll be fine. She's actually doing something to Gilmore.
Yep.
That's not Gilmore. That's Matt.
Mr. Mercer.
That's Matt. Here.
Mr. We have Mercer over here.
This guy.
Mm-hmm. Here. There you go.
Let's see. Have any of you, cared one wants to know, lost your cool in a D&D game?
Lost
your cool.
You've never lost your cool in a D&D.
I mean, like, why would you? I mean, like, I got bad news during a D&D game once that like made me sad.
Sure, same.
But so have you ever lost your cool?
I mean, like,
I short-circuited when Vex came out of the bathtub, but that's not the same. That's not the same as lost your cool.
Yeah.
And I've even been in games with people that I was like really not happy with and like not enjoying, but I was just having a lot of fun making the game bad for them as opposed to.
Yeah, I've never lost my cool.
I've got a story.
Life's too short.
I didn't necessarily lose my cool, but I. Okay, so there are brownies that you eat when you are with your family, and there are brownies that you eat when you're not.
I've had this kind of story. Yeah, carry out. Yeah.
So
I got
one night before D&D over at Mary Elizabeth and Steve Bloom's house.
Sure.
I ate from the plate of the brownies that you're not supposed to eat with your family. I ate the bad brownie
with walnuts in it.
With walnuts in it.
Yeah.
Yes. An eighth of walnuts. And. I
I got to Mary's house. I got to Mary's house 45 minutes later, whatever it was. And I knock on the door and I'm sweating and Mary opens the door and she's our fairy godmother and she is like, come in, come in. And I walk over to the table and I put my wormwood shit down and I'm like, I'm freaking out, man. I don't know how this is gonna go. And Mary's like, what's the problem? And I said, I ate an eighth of walnuts. And she goes, no, you had D&D today. I go, I know, I forgot until everyone texted and said, on my way. And I went, oh, I thought I was just gonna watch the latest Transformers movie tonight. Half an hour into the game, our DM at the time is describing us having to cross this bridge and there's, you know, lava or whatever underneath. And I am sweating and I'm looking at the map and there's all sorts of shit happening. And Steve and Mary, who knew what were happening, are losing their shit. Well, just look somewhere there's
Those nut allergies are no joke.
Yeah, I'm allergic to
get them
nuts.
In school.
Yeah, it was like an hour and a half of the game. I was literally like, if I die in the game, I die in real life. And I'm questioning everything everybody does. I'm like, why would you do that? You gotta keep me alive.
Oh, man.
Don't do it.
Are you gonna turn undead?
I know. If someone would have turned undead, I would have passed out. I would have passed out. Let's see. Fancy Brancy. Do you guys have a favorite GIF of yourself that has been made for this campaign? Now that's a little self-indulgent. Oh, Henry has one. Henry, is it the one Arsqueef made last week?
Wow.
I
don't know if I mean, like, the thing I like about...
He's asking Vinny where the new teleprompter is.
I kind of like that they're a little like ethereal and they vanish back into the mist. But at the same time, I find it really weird, and I'm not on Facebook very often because I can't
Why?
Anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's just a lot.
It's so Orwellian, Brian. It's so Orwellian.
But the fact that I like friends will occasionally like try and find a reaction GIF and be like, well, I can't put that up because that's you, and now everything's weird. And I really enjoy that now. Friends who I would be irritated with because they would post too many GIF reactions now just feel awkward about the whole endeavor, and it's really pleasing. Hey, we finally upgraded hosts.
Hey!
Aww. There we go. New host, who dis?
He's here, a good boy.
Do you want to hold
GIFs
the questions?
Yeah, GIFs are so ephemeral.
Yeah.
There have been so many funny ones. I love the one of the Ghost Puncher tonight.
Ghost Puncher was pretty
really
solid.
Great.
I think the only ones that stick in my mind, since I'm such a sad bastard, are the sad ones. But
I like, the if it's from way back, the Marisha and I doing the double rainbow.
Oh, well, that's
yeah. That's a classic.
That was part of that was because I asked the internet for something and they delivered, and I was
they
very
did.
They delivered really well.
Yeah.
Another classic is Laura Bailey fingering her own hand. There's another Laura classic of her eyebrow going, I can't do it. I don't know how Laura does that, but the waggling eyebrow is a good one.
Yeah, I can't do eyebrow tricks either. I mean, I can raise one, but I can't really do much else.
I can raise one a little bit, not very well.
Another classic is the Briarwoods moment for you at dinner.
Yeah,
God. The Kill Bill sirens happened.
Yeah, it was like, oh, wow, that's happening. Yeah. That was a good one. Yeah, there's a few.
There's so many, yeah.
Oh, puppy.
All right, well,
oh, buddy.
I think that's all the time we have for tonight.
Yeah. I should do this again next week, though.
I'm down. All right. We've got a little bit of time before the break.
That's fair. Yeah.
I mean, it'll probably be you guys, too, again next week.
Hey,
so,
you guys want to come back next week? Sure. We can just book it now.
Should I do Tuesday nights? But that's, you know,
no, apparently not anymore. No, that's Talison and Liam date night. Let's just change the name of the show.
Talison and Liam date night. Yeah. You guys can answer questions for the rest of the cast as well.
I feel okay with that. We'll put out like a cheese spread and like some cards.
Do you like strawberries?
I do.
Do you like strawberries on your body?
I can't. I like being completely covered in them, head to toe.
I can do that.
Hot.
I know you can. Yeah.
The Korean spa.
The Korean spa down on Wilshire, I think, is where you can do that. It's like $75.
They specialize in strawberries.
They specialize in strawberries. Yeah, they're covered in yogurt.
Strawberries and Rice Krispies. Mm-hmm. It's great.
How many strawberries does it take to cover up Talison Jaffe? That's what we'll discuss next week on Talks Machina. Until then, we love you all. Say goodnight, Henry.
Good night, Henry.
Yeah.
Down. There you go.
Good
boy.
You get my last treat of my pocket.
Now you're going to be hungry tonight.
All right, everyone, we love you. We'll see you Thursday for a brand new episode of
Between the Talks.
Between the Rolls.
Rollical Crits. We'll see you then.
Rollical Crits.
Yep.
All of it. They're doing this to you intentionally. I love it.
Kill us, please kill us.
Freeze frame.
Thank you for listening to Tox Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. If you like this episode, please drop a review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Tox Machina airs live on Twitch at twitch.tv/Critical Role on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific. We'll see you next time.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.